My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast.
I suppose you and I could call this, as many scholars have termed this parable, the pearl of all parables. It's a beautiful story about a young man who made some choices in life, but he was able to rectify them and do the right thing. It's probably one of the greatest homecoming stories in the Bible, next to the beauty of longing for the homecoming of heaven when we leave this earth. Today is a homecoming for the Leoni Church of Christ. It is an opportunity for you to see individuals that you have not seen in several years, an opportunity for families to be together as you once were, but times and sometimes decisions change those things. For the next few moments, I want you to think with me of this young man. This young man who made a decision to go into a place that he thought was good, but in reality it was not. The late Brother B.C. Goodpasture made an observation on this parable. He said, when a man goes to the far country in heart, it's not long until he's there in life. So true. Our theme this week is what it means to be a Christian. Last hour it means that we must provide out of the Leoni Church of Christ able individuals committed to their gospel meeting. Individuals that fear God and instruct others to fear God and keep His commandments and persuade others to come. And Leoni, look around. You have done a wonderful job. I commend you. We also should provide out of the people men of truth, those desiring to edify and to exhort by the means of truth, God's Word, so that we can live good and peaceable lives. For this next few moments, I want you to consider with me what it means to be a Christian. It means that you and I must make the right choices. You and I make choices every day. Some are major, some are minor, but a choice, nevertheless, is a choice. We make a choice on the one we want to date, a choice on the one we want to marry, a choice of paint colors in our houses, a choice of a bush to put outside, a choice to take a certain job, a choice to turn down a certain job, a choice to retire. We all make choices every day. But I want us to think from the standpoint of what happens when you make a choice when you go into a far country. You see, for there to be a homecoming, you had to go somewhere in order to come back home. Many of you today have journeyed various distances. I would be eager to find out who came the farthest. Just out of curiosity, I'm not going to survey that now, for I'm not here to do a survey such as on Family Feud. I'm here to proclaim the gospel, as that's why we're here. But it would be interesting to find that out later. But I do know this, that when you come home, that means you've been somewhere else. Now, this young man journeyed into a far country. And I want you to consider with me and look at what happens when you journey into a far country. And as we think about we make the right choices, let's look at this young man's decision-making from the time he left until he came back home. And I want you to see that it parallels with you and I sitting here today. You see, in a gospel meeting such as this, as a homecoming, you are faced with a variety of people. Of course, you have the faithful members of the Leoni Church of Christ, her elders, her deacons, her preacher, families, and you're here, as we say, every time the doors are open. You also have individuals who will be here at Leoni on Sunday morning, but they have other commitments other times. You have individuals who grew up at Leoni, and it's nice to have you back home, and chances are that this may be the first time you've attended worship in many years. We have individuals who have left Leoni, who are faithfully, diligently serving in Churches of Christ in the area where you moved. And you came back home because this is a homecoming and this place means a lot to you. You see, no matter what I say this morning, we're all here because of a spiritual reason. Something happened with us spiritually, if you will, because we're here. It could be an invitation from a Christian that attends here that brings you and I here. It could be you grew up here, you've made choices that are not the greatest. You grew up here and you continue to be faithful. It varies, but be that as it may, it is a spiritual reason why you're here. Therefore, I want to appeal to you spiritually. When you journey into a far country, let's see the importance of making the right choices. as you have your Bible there, and I asked Hal just to read these few verses, because this is where I will be focusing. The prodigal son is probably one of the best known stories. It's a young man who had a brother. This young man went to his father, wanted his part of the inheritance. As he took his part of the inheritance, a few days he left, went into a far country. He wasted his substance. He began to be in want, so he joined himself to a citizen of that country, or he became a slave to a citizen of where he was, and that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. He was a boy that had everything handed to him. Now he was having to do the things that the servants where he grew up did. He was hungry, so hungry he would have eaten what the swine would have turned down. But he came to himself. He said, "I'll arise, go to my father. Say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Made me as one of thy hired servants." When he was on his way home, his father saw him, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him, and the son said all that except he left off the part of "made me as one of thy hired servants." The father called for a robe, called for shoes, called for a ring, called for, if you will, garments of restoration. Had the fatted calf killed, and they had a great celebration, for the son was lost, and he's now come home again. It's a beautiful story. It's one that you would love to see an ending in every show, but it doesn't end that way in real life. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. For example, now let's focus a little bit more on the story. I want you to look at verse 13. When you go into a far country, many times you think you have chosen the right direction. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He thought he had the right direction. Proverbs 14:12 reminds us, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And we're reminded in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, when a man is tempted, let him not say, "I am tempted of God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he every man or any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. When an individual begins to blame God for the way life is going for them, you and I made the choices. We cannot blame God for choices you and I have made. God is there to help you and I make the right choices. But we choose a direction that we think is right. It is not right. And many times we get out of that situation knowing it's not right, and we're like those in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. We are without hope, or without God, and without hope in the world. When you and I go into a far country, we will waste everything that we have. We think the direction is right, but we will waste everything we built up. A person that says, "I may not attend church, but I still believe in God," you have wasted your substance. Because you are no more different, nor am I any more different, to say, "I believe in God," but fail to do what He wants us to do. Well, that's equivalent to the devils in James 2:19, who believe yet tremble. It's like those in the time of John, chapter 12 and verse 32, who believed on Christ, but they did not confess Him, lest they be cast out of the synagogue. It's very easy when we go into a far country to waste what we had. And for a while we think we're doing all right. But then little by little, we begin to waste it away. And then we realize we have nothing left. When you go in a far country, you think you've made the right direction, the right decision, but you've wasted everything you have and you wind up with nothing. At one time you had it all, but now you have nothing. How does that apply today? Let me ask you something, dear one. You have come to the Leone homecoming, but do you still need to come home? Do you still need to come home to God? Do you still need to come home and begin life anew, or to begin a new life with God, just like our beloved sister did last week? Do you need to come home? I want you to consider something second with me. I want you to look at the next verse, which is verse 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Secondly, when you go into a far country, you lose all that you had, and you wind up losing even more. A famine arose. He began to be in want. He had nothing. When the famine arose, it made matters worse. Here was a young man that just sometime before, his father gave him. You hear me, church? You hear me, friends? Gave him, and now no man gave to him. I find it amazing. He wanted the father's possessions, but he didn't want the father in person. He thought he could handle it on his own. And he began to be in want. Ladies and gentlemen, in the land of famine, the wages you will be paid will be death, because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The direction and the travel on the roads will always be hard, Proverbs 13 and verse 15. And you will also realize that you will have such a great want and a great need that nobody will give unto you, that you have to earn it. And Satan has you in his grasp unlike anything. Here's a young man that has gone out and he's wasted everything. He's now in want, and his want is greater than when he had all the riches in the world. But no man will give to him. All the wages of sin is death. And folks, the tax rate, if you will, the tax rate is too great to bear in the land of famine. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he'll sow to the Spirit, he'll reap of the Spirit. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap of the flesh. Never make a mistake when you and I travel to the land of famine. The wages will be death. The direction to travel is hard. And sad to say, the remainder of it, you're just there with great need. And we suffer and we hurt. But you know, my friends, let's think about this for a moment. Do you know anybody like that? I know individuals that are like that. Individuals that will sit down in my office, or I'll sit at their house and we'll have a good conversation. And they will be looking for me to tell them what they want to hear, rather they don't want to do what God wants them to do. You ever had an individual like that? Where you sit down and you begin to talk with them. Recently I had a kind fellow just... You ever notice some people want to ride on something, and he began to talk with me and he began to talk about some things. Now folks, I don't mind anybody giving me their thoughts on a matter. But I do have a little problem when individuals who will not darken the door of a church building seem to have all the answers for the church. With all due respect, would you and I not do better, and don't we appreciate individuals who will put into action what they believe first, and then it's a little easier to understand where they're coming from? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Oh, we know that verse. Judge not, you ye not judge. Preacher, you're judging me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, read the rest of that verse. The rest of the verses tell us that when we judge, Jesus is condemning a harsh judgment, not knowing the facts of a matter. And I find it amazing that when people want to judge me, when people say I'm judging, do you know in essence what they're doing? They're judging me. It's amazing. Here's a young man that when he went out into that land of famine, he lost it. But you know, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. He's given us His holy and divine Word that's inspired of God Himself. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I am able to understand and can be perfected. Here's the story that I want us to grasp here in this point. My friends, if you're looking for answers of life, if you have been out in the land of famine for a long time and you're struggling and you're looking for answers, you've tried everything, but what is the very thing you should do? Come back to God and begin a life with Him. We try to look for an answer everywhere. People look for answers with Dr. Phil, Keith Ablo, Creflo Dollar, Super Nanny. Do you know if my mama had that show? Super Nanny is on for an hour. If my mama had her own show, that show would be a 15-minute infomercial. My mama wouldn't have put up with that. I tell you right now, she didn't put up with that. Neither did my daddy. Y'all going to come up afterwards and tell me all this, but I will tell you this right now. You'll tell me what happened with your family, and that's all fine. My daddy would do this number. For those who are listening on tape, he would point at you and he'd snap. Folks, I am convinced. When the Iraqi war started, if they'd have dropped my daddy in the middle of Iraq, within 24 hours, he'd have popped that finger, he'd have hauled the whole country off. You see, folks, when you and I take a look, and we're looking for every answer in the world from everybody else, but why will not people return back to God? What is so wrong with people coming back home to the Father who's there waiting? You've wasted everything. You're still looking for the answers in the land of famine. I'm telling you, your wages of sin will increase. That's death. Your directions will continue to be hard to travel. That, again, is Proverbs 13:15. And your tax rate is too hard to bear because you keep sowing things that God will not bless you with. Why won't you come home? Why won't you be like this young man? Realize that everything is wasted and the only answer you're going to find is God. And if you walk out those doors today and you're trying to look for answers and you're trying this and you're trying that, folks, I hope my voice will haunt you. I really do. I hope it bears on you to go back and say, you know, I've tried everything, but this is what I've got to do. But consider with me number three. What happens when you go into a far country? Look at verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" When you go into the far country, you remember what you left behind. And sometimes it's haunting, isn't it? This young man remembered what he left behind. He remembered the meals. You know, Jesus said in John 6, "I am the bread of life." He remembered the blessings therein. Psalm 84:11 reminds us how, and this is a rough paraphrase, how God will bless us and take care of us if we'll but live for Him. We remember those things. We remember those days. And we wonder, how did I get where I'm getting? Today, denominationalism misguides, misleads, and people are looking for the instant emotion and the gratification. God is looking for devotion and dedication, not emotion and gratification. And we remember back about sermons within the church. We remember back of the purpose of the church, Ephesians 3:10-12. We remember the truth that should be brought forth within the pulpits of churches of Christ. We remember those things, and I have found so many of my friends that are around my age, I'm 44, so many people around my age begin to be bitter against the church and bitter against those things. Well, all I can tell you is what God's Word has to say. And let me suggest something to you. The church didn't leave, you did. You made the choice, and you remember how things were. You remember the beauty and the joy of Bible class. You remember the beauty of being in worship together. You remember being there with mom and with dad. You remember these things. This young man remembered those things. He remembered the blessings. He remembered the meals. He remembered what was good about it. And he was much better off where he was than where he was at that time. But I want you to look at me fourth. Drop down to verse 18. "I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And of course, he repeated that when he got to 21 to the father, but he did not say, "Make me as one of thy hired servants." I wouldn't have said it either. Number four, when you go into a far country, you will recall the way home. Not only will you remember what's there, but you will recall the way home. He said, "I will arise and I will go to my father." He knew the way back home. And he knew what he had to do. He arose and said, "I will go." He could recall the way back home. Now, I'm looking out here today. You have recalled the way back home. You really have. I mean, you made it here. Now, Highway 70 has probably changed in spots. Building you probably remember is torn down. Different sign here than when I remember Leonie. Different for you. A lot of things have changed. But you remember the way back home. Well, this young man, he recalled the way back home. And he went home. I want you to think with me what we've looked at this morning. Then I want to go back to this point here. When you go into a far country, you will waste what you have thinking you have the right direction. Think about from the time you left the Leone Church of Christ. Think about from the time that you've left and you're back today. How has your travel been? Let's take that to the second point. When you go into a far country, you waste everything. You realize you're in greater need than what you had before. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Are you still in need? Have you made the right decisions? Have you made the right choices? Have you made choices that God is pleased with? Do you remember the right way? Do you remember the direction? Do you recall the way back home? The invitation of Christ is always extended by means of exhortation. I do not extend the invitation of Christ making people think that I'm about done because I may not be. And if you start reaching for song books, it may make me nervous and I might back up and start the sermon all over again. I believe when the invitation of Christ comes, there are better things to do than grab a song book and sing the invitation song I've been singing for 44 years. And I didn't come all this way to bust through an invitation. But I came this way to appeal to you. You came to homecoming. But do you need to come home? I'd do you a misjustice if I did anything. You see, when I recall the way, I'm not concerned with what synods, conventions, earthly headquarters, or anything else dictate. I am concerned with what God has to say to me and to you through His Word. And if I do what He says, then He will be pleased with me. So I'm not here to impress worldly headquarters, because worldly headquarters are only secondary to the heavenly headquarters, where my Savior is on the right hand of His Father and mine. There is a way home. You may recall preachers talking about the importance of faith. Preacher, you're going to give us that plan of salvation, aren't you? You better believe I am. But it's called salvation's plan. Well, give me Jesus. Don't give me all that. You want Jesus, you've got to take all that. You can't preach the man without his plan, because God is a God that had a plan, and His plan was to send Jesus Christ to save man. How can man be saved unless he has the plan God gave him? I know faith is important. I can get any religious person to agree with me because the Bible says it, that faith is important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. That's John 8:24. I don't have a problem with faith. When somebody says you want to emphasize something more than faith, nothing could be further from the truth. God says we must have faith to believe, but that faith is going to move me to make a decision and in my change of direction and bring me out of a far country. And that's where repentance comes in, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus commanded that in Luke 13:3. That I can change my decision, in turn change my direction, and have a better walk of life. You can come in here with every problem you've got and you're trying to solve it. You're trying to straighten it out. Oh, preacher, when I get this straightened out, then I'll do what's right. Hoss, you hadn't even got it down yet. Why don't you turn and give it to God and you'll be able to deal with those things? We all do. Look around the room. You've got room full of problems in here. How do we deal with it? Living for God. Jesus commanded it. Peter preached it. Acts 2:38. What about confessing Jesus as the Son of God? That's what the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. Jesus commanded that in Matthew 10:32-33. We see it again, to confess Him as Lord, in Philippians 2:11. And then we plead for people to be baptized into Christ. Oh, here you go. No, church, it's not here where I go. Here's what the Bible says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's Mark 16:16. If I say Hal Champion got married to Janice years ago and they're Hal and Janice Champion, they are one, and I put them one because God married them. Number two, the word "and" is in there, which joins Hal and Janice, the champions. Belief and baptism is essential. That's not what my church teaches. And ladies and gentlemen, with all due respect, your church is wrong. The Bible's right. How about what Peter said in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why was that important? Because he commanded it. What about Paul? Paul had been praying. But when Ananias got to him, he told him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if it was praying, why didn't he pray a sinner's prayer? I'll tell you why Paul didn't pray a sinner's prayer. Because God didn't command Paul to pray a sinner's prayer, because it wasn't a sinner's prayer to be prayed. Preacher, you're saying things I haven't heard, but you're saying things that, you know, but don't you recall those things? That's the gospel that's been preached and the plan that has been brought forth. But now let's go another step. Do you recall the day that you obeyed that gospel? Do you recall the day of joy? Do you recall the day you obeyed the gospel when your mama cried? When your daddy sat there proud as a peacock, but he couldn't cry if he had to, because you see, back then men just didn't cry. Let me tell you something, brothers. One proof of being a man is when you cry. My Savior cried. I've cried. If you don't cry, it's going to hurt you. That's why God gave us tear ducts. You remember that day you obeyed the gospel? I'm asking you, have you been in a far country? Have you wasted all that beauty of salvation, that hope, that promise of God? And you're still looking for answers, aren't you? Recall and do what that young man did. You start back home to where there's a robe of promise, Revelation 3, to where there's that signet ring of promise and sealed with that ring, Ephesians 1:13. There's bread enough and to spare, that's John 6:38. And there's more than you can ever imagine when you come back home to the Father. So here's a young man that made some bad choices, and then finally he made the right choice. That's what it means to be a Christian, to make the right choices. That's why at this hour, we want you to make the right choice today. We've explained what one must do to be a Christian. We've explained what one must do to come back and begin life anew. And that's simply confessing sins, 1 John 1:9, and ask for prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's James 5:16. We make that appeal because it is the invitation of Christ by way of exhortation. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief to depart from the living God. Your heart is prime, and there's no finer time or better time than to respond to the Lord's invitation and to make this homecoming the day you came home. We'll give you that opportunity as we stand and while we sing.